Greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy and I'm joining you live tonight. Praise Yahweh on a Wednesday evening. Glad to have you in here with us. We've got a great program tonight, part three of Growing in Grace and Knowledge. We got a great one for you. Won't you stay tuned? You know, the growth of an individual depends on his ability to seek Yahweh. Let me read you just a verse of Scripture here as we get started and lay a little gestalt for you. In the fifth chapter of the book of Amos, hear ye the word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith Yahweh, the city that went out by a thousand shall leave a hundred, and they that went forth by a hundred shall leave ten to the house of Israel. For thus saith Yahweh unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and you shall live. Now, ladies and gentlemen, by seeking Yahweh with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength, most people in the Christian age, all they want to do is say, oh, that was under the law. We don't have to do that no more. And they spiritualize away the ability to perform. Why call me Yahweh, he said, and do not the things that I say for you to do? Would you have a servant that promised you that you would faithfully serve him and you would faithfully obey your master, and just as soon as he turned his back, you sat down and you waited, and you waited, and you waited, and you didn't do anything according to the charter of your agreement or the faith that you had promised to walk in? And that's just how it is when people spiritualize things away. For instance, they try to take water baptism as a spiritual thing, and they actually spiritualize away, oh, it don't mean anything. You can if you want to. All it is just show that you put on Christ. Same way with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, you don't have to have that. Oh, it don't matter. All you got to do is go down to the church and submit to the church and confess your faith in Christ that he's your Savior, and go to the church of choice, and whatever you are, be a good. You see, the evangelists of the modern-day Christianity are the most deceiving and outrageous in their doctrine of feel-good, the doctrine of pray up and pay, and the doctrine of prosperity, when Yahweh says, in me you shall have peace, but in the world you shall have tribulation. Also it says that they that live worthy of my commands and obey me will suffer tribulation or persecution. So it's a foregone conclusion that the two steps that we've talked about, water baptism and the Holy Spirit, and the first step of repentance, water baptism for the remission of sins, the moving of pardon, and then the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's growing in grace and in knowledge. Now, let me show you something here, ladies and gentlemen, as we get into tonight's message on the third aspect of commandment keeping. Now, you know what the first commandment is, I'm sure. You've been a Christian, I'm sure you can quote it, right? Well, let me give you a refresher. In the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 29, the first commandment, hear, O Israel. Didn't say hear, O world, hear over in the Congo, hear over in Mexico, or hear over in Haiti, or like countries. He said, hear, O Israel. Now, who is Israel? Well, according to the Bible, in the knowledge department, and there is a way that seems right, people have basically got it figured out in the modern church age, all you got to do is go down to church with a steeple on it and a cross where they preach Jesus Christ, and all you got to do is go to the altar and raise your hands. You don't even have to get on your knees. You just raise your hands and repeat after the preacher. Now, none of that is spiritual or scriptural. None of that is applied in the biblical text. And the Bible said, by the word you're justified, and by the word you're condemned. How do we come in contact with the obedience factor that's built into the command, go into all of the world, preach the gospel to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? In the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, it stated that he came only, I'm going to repeat that, he came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And by doing so, he exclusively excluded everything but Israel. Now, Israel is a family. Israel is a racial people. Israel has a certain color. And Israel is a blushing bride that we read here in the book of Amos, where the house of Joseph, Ephraim, began. And the book of Amos is entirely written to the 10 tribes that Christ came to 2,000 years ago when he said, I was only sent to them. After that he divorced Israel and sent them a packing in 721 B.C., he gave them a promise that he would return and save a remnant. If 1,000 leaves the city, he said, I will only gather 100 back. If 100 leave the city, now that means old Jerusalem, the physical location in the Middle East. And according to 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10, that he would send Israel a packing and a remnant would be saved, and that they would never, I don't want to repeat this now, listen to me well. 1 Samuel 7, 10, they shall never return. Now we've got these false prophets are telling us that Israel is supposed to return to the homeland or return back to old Jerusalem. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's not scriptural. That is a traditional theory of the Christian fundamentalist preachers as they support the return of the Jews, who they say is God's holy people. And ladies and gentlemen, that can't be true. The Jews, if they are true, I'm not talking about those who are not, but I am talking about those who are, if there are any of them, that they only make up 1/12 of the equation. And so then, the other 11 tribes who have never returned, you've never heard say, well, the house of Joseph, they're returning to the land of Israel. The house of Simeon, they're returning to the house of Israel. The house of Benjamin, they're returning to, you never hear them say that. They classify and categorize all of the tribes into one tribe and call them all Jews. That is an error. That's a lack of knowledge. That's a lack of instruction. And the teaching is that we should bring the truth, which the Bible said that he's a spirit, and Yahweh wants you to give people the truth. You can deceive people by telling them that all of Israel is Jewish. That is a lie to the core, and it was started by the author of a lie, Satan and his transformed angels of light wearing sheep clothes, but they are actually wolves in sheep's clothing. And Paul mentioned them, and he said, beware of them, because that they would deceive the very elect, if possible. Now, let's get into the third phase of the commandment-keeping responsibilities in order to grow. Now, you can't grow in the earth depleted of all of its minerals, and so you would have to use some type of fertilizer. 95% of all food grown today has to have large quantities of fertilizer or enhancers to encourage the plant to grow. Now, what it does, it incorporates all of this chemical, potash, lime, and stuff like this that they put on, that's mixed in fertilizer. It assimilates all of this nutrients that the plant feeds from. And you go up and then you eat the plant, or the animals eat the plant, and they become whatever they eat. And if it's not natural, organic fertilizer, and we know what that means, you have to have natural, organic for a plant to maintain its cell structure in natural, organic fashion as it was created to do. Now, at one time, the earth was so fertile that it didn't need any natural fertilizers, chemicals, or what have you. But we have disobeyed the commandments of Yahweh. We haven't let the land rest. I've lived down here in Tennessee for over 65 years, and I'm very familiar with this county. There's 30,000 people in the county proper that I live in, of Claiborne County, Tennessee. And I have never, with an exception of a few farmers that I know personally, that have let their land, their gardens, or their crop fields lay dormant through the cycle of letting the land rest. We have forgotten the old path, and the Bible said to see and ask for it. And that's why that the earth, being cursed, is not yielding, because we take everything and spiritualize it and say, we don't have to do that no more. Matter of fact, I have spent the week reading on the occasion of some of the arguments and the proposals that are going around that you don't have to kill the lamb for Passover anymore. And here we are. That subject comes up periodically. Now, we're going to talk about the festivals in our next, probably our program, probably on Friday night. I would like to get into the festivals and the feasts that are ordered by Yahweh under the covenant. You say, well, see, that was under the law, Pastor Buddy. We don't have to do that no more. Well, you show me where that the festivals were under the law, when I can show you that they were still keeping in the New Testament. And it's a foregone conclusion that people have amazingly turned everything into a spiritualization to take away the work effort of the growth and the knowledge. Now, if you've got growth and knowledge, you're not going to fall for that junk. You might have in the past, but when you grow up as a calf in the stall, you're going to make your election and calling sure when you put on the whole armor, which you're able to withstand the traditions of those who would teach that you don't have to do these things anymore. Now, tonight I would like to concentrate on one of the most important of all of the commandments in the Bible to grow. And I have told my story several times here on the radio that I was reading in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, and verse 12. And I got a revelation from that very scripture that gave me the information that I needed to acknowledge the great, the magnanimous, and the most magnificent of all names. It changed me dramatically. And lo and behold, it was a scripture that said, if you will honor my Sabbaths. Now, that put me into a position as a Saturday, seventh-day keeper. I was caught up in the traditions of the seventh day and kept it for many years on Saturday. Refused to work, refused to go in to work. I would turn my employers down when they solicited me for work on Saturday. I would work on Sunday. I'd work on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, but I would not work on a Saturday because any knowledge and without any growth, I went along with the Saturday Sabbath, as a lot of people still do today. Now, when I read in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 12, where it said, if you keep my Sabbath, I'll reveal my name to you. Well, I thought I already had the name, because I could have swore that the name of Jesus in the New Testament, although it wasn't mentioned in the Old, it must be the name of God in the Old Testament. So I was quite satisfied and content until after I began to seriously consider the Sabbath. Now, when I began my study and my search, I began to see that the Sabbath was not kept by the weekly calendar of what we call the Gregorian or the Gregorian calendar of the Catholic invention. I began to study about time. And the Bible says in Daniel 7:25, they shall think to change times and laws. And I wondered in my growth process, because I was beginning to grow, I was getting what my Navy buddies would call my sailor legs. I was walking through the scriptures, growing just a little bit, and growing a little bit more, and growing a little bit more. And finally, I came to the knowledge that Saturday was not the true biblical Sabbath in the Word of Yahweh. And what a surprise. Oh, man, it just turned my world upside down. I couldn't believe, after I read in the Scriptures, I couldn't believe that I had been so deceived by the Saturday, the Sabbath keepers, buying into the Gregorian calendar, that it was the way, the true way of Yahweh. I really believed that because I kept Saturday. But when I grew in grace and knowledge, I began to see that the true Sabbath was kept both by the ancient Hebrews, not the Jews, because I read every encyclopedia in the Lincoln Memorial University Library. And I went there for a year in this study. And I found out that the true Sabbath was kept by the ancients, Moses, and all of the others, provable. And we do have a booklet on the Sabbath written by my good friend, Brother Arnold, and some of my contributors to the occasion of making this little booklet available for you, that you might search the Scriptures before you think you have eternal life. You don't have any, though you might think that the Sabbath is on Saturday. It's not. And we can prove that. We're willing to debate that with anybody. And the Sunday keepers, which are the traditionalists of that came out from the Hoare Church. Now, the Hoare established the first day of the week, which they called Sunday, or the S-U-N day, not the S-O-N day, although it was so close to the S-O-N day that they slipped sun worship in, which was the ancient pagan worships mentioned by the book of Ezekiel. When I was studying in the book of Ezekiel, I went through the whole book. In the 8th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, it says that they were worshiping Tammuz and Ashtoreth, a goddess. And this is strictly related to the sun god worship, S-U-N-G-O-D, in the little G. And so then, I began to grow. And this is your challenge tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and I plead with you to grow in grace and grow in knowledge, that you may save yourself from this untoward generation and to save those that would hear you if they would put on the works rather than spiritualizing it away and say, oh, we don't have to do that no more. That's under the law, Pastor Buddy. It doesn't matter. You know Sunday's in your heart, or Saturday's in your heart, or the Sabbath is in your heart. And as long as it's in your heart, See, Yahweh done away with the law. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Sabbath wasn't under the law. It was before the law. It was kept during the law. It was kept after the law. We can find that every Sabbath day, Paul entered in and reasoned with them who were not the true Sabbath keepers and introduced them to the proper procedures. At the time of Paul's teaching, they had gone over to sun worship. And they'd gone over foolishly as the Jews who have followed the suit of the Catholic Church. One accepting Saturday, first day of the week, and one accepting Saturday as the seventh day as opposed to Sunday, which would be the first day of the week. And so then, they sort of had a little compromise. If the right hand don't deceive you, the left one will. Out of one side of the mouth comes salt water, and one out of the other side comes bitter water. And or fresh water. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot accept which has been traditionally placed before you and put upon your plate through tradition other than the Word. That's why that it's so important to grow in grace and knowledge. That's why we're bringing this revelation systematically, bringing step by step in process to type the scriptures in your behalf, that you might be fully furnished a good man, showing forth the works of Yahweh. He will render to every man according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But to those who are facetious and do not obey the truth, but obey wickedness, there will be wrath and fury laid up for them, as the Apostle Paul preached in the book of Romans, chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, not your faith. Faith without works is dead. And all these people that live by faith alone have no works, spiritualize the scriptures, take away the obedience and the commandments, put them under the rug of their imagination, and appear as God's people, professing God, but denying Him in the works. So let your light shine, that they may see your good works, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Now listen to 17. For I come not to destroy the law or the prophets. Now, what good would he have been to give you the law and then come around and destroy it? All he destroyed was the handwritten ordinances. Took them away, and everybody thinks he took the whole law away. Well, if he did, is it all right to murder? Did he take that away? If there's no more commandment against it, then why not just murder? If there's no commandments against stealing, why don't we just go out and rob a bank and suffer no consequences? Because we can go into court and justify our actions by telling the judge, well, see, I read and I heard the preacher preach it. We weren't under the law no more, and I didn't have to keep the Ten Commandments. I didn't have to do these things. You see, they pick and choose what they want to keep. These denominational churches, they make up a way that seems right to them, and then the tradition sets in, and they wouldn't change if hell froze over. Listen to this. What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says that he has faith and has no works? Can his faith save him? Well, I doubt it according to that statement. If a brother or sister is ill-clad and has a lack of clothing or food, and one says to them, oh, go on in peace, be warmed and be filled, without giving them the things that they need both for the body, what does it profit? So faith by itself, with no works, is dead. But some will say, you have faith and I have be an action person. It's called the ABCs. A is the action process of your faith. Perform it. B is a belief in the system that you stand for. And C is the confidence that you have to perform the things that you are expected to perform for your Creator. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, listen to this. If you say that you love me and keep not my commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. What are the commandments? Again, the third commandment, the first commandment is Yahweh Israel, Yahweh is one Yahweh. Now, if we're not under that Mosaic law, that's where Moses got these laws. And people say, we're not under those no more. Well, then you don't have to love Yahweh. And if you don't love Yahweh, he's not going to love you. You cannot love Yahweh if you don't love your brother. Because if you say you love Yahweh and don't love your brother, you're a liar. If you say you love Yahweh and won't keep his commandments, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you according to the Bible. Let me tell you something. If you believe in the first commandment, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is one, then you're doing no more than the devil. Do you think you could be justified by just believing what the devil believes? Did you know that the devil believes that there's one Yahweh and he trembles? The demons tremble. Oh, yeah. They may be brave. They may be tempting. They may be enticing you to turn away from the commandments and say you don't have to do it. It's the easy way out. It is a performance without performance. It's a faith that is dead and void of works. And so then, by growth of grace and knowledge, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? Not by faith. She hid the messengers and received them and hid them and sent them out another way to avoid the enemy. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead, as it's repeated in James chapter 2, verse 14. Yahweh is holy. He has never been touched in the way of sin, nor will he be involved with sin, and no sinner will enter the kingdom of heaven. You must go without sin. If you love me, now those who profess that they love him would keep not only the first commandment, the second commandment, that you have no idols before him, and the third commandment, you wouldn't worship any strange gods, like the devil. The devil knows that there's only one. He trembles, as we just read. And the fourth commandment, which we're focusing on tonight in growth and understanding and knowledge, is the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, how do you keep the Sabbath day? Would you keep it on a Saturday? Would you keep it on a Sunday? Well, most people have the choice in Christianity of Friday for one group, Saturday for one group, and Sunday for one group. But did you know that the Sabbath may not be on a Saturday? It may not be on a Sunday? Or it could not be on a Friday? Or for that matter, may not be on a Monday? It could be on a Tuesday for one week, and then change in the middle of that week with a new moon to begin your next count. Now, you say, that's too complicated, Pastor, but I would never figure that out. How in the world have you come up with that understanding? I have grown in grace and knowledge and studied the Bible. It is quite clear, ladies and gentlemen, that the word of Yahweh abides forever. And those who would seek to enter in to his rest must keep his commandments to do so. How is the commandments kept? By obedience to the command. I command you to cease from your labor, not to work for servile wages. Do not serve anybody for wages to increase your purse strings and to enlarge your purses or your treasures, but to lay up your treasure where? In heaven. A little bit with Yahweh through obedience is certainly, with his blessings, a lot more than having much in the world of mammon and not have the blessings of Yahweh. Yahweh could curse you. Yahweh could wipe out your life savings with one illness. And the Bible says that a man will give everything he's got, that he's raked and scraped and saved, he will give that to save his life. You know, if a man just had the patent product to cure baldness of men and women, did you know that he would be a rich man overnight? And yet there's not one remedy, and they say they've got it on the market, but, you know, nobody's ever proven that they use anything to make your hair grow. It may stimulate it for a while, but if you're going bald, you're just going to go bald. And ladies and gentlemen, Elijah was a bald-headed man. It's not a sin to be bald-headed, but it is a sin to break Yahweh's commandments of the Sabbath. And you must grow in grace and knowledge and understanding on how to keep and how to present the formula. Some people have wrestled, and I know myself, I've wrestled with this tough issue. The fourth commandment in lunar keeping Sabbath is a very tough commandment. However, if you are willing to go against the grain of tradition, now they'll give you Saturday and Sunday off, and they won't penalize you. But you take Monday and Tuesday off, say it's a new moon on Monday and Tuesday, you take those 2 days off, and you're probably going to get a little pink slip put in your time clock area to report to the office. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a pleasant feeling when you're persecuted for the word of Yahweh. But the Bible said, they that live to serve Yahweh will suffer persecution. Will Yahweh make a way out for you? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am a witness tonight that Yahweh will be a witness to you if you will walk by faith and keep his Sabbaths. He will prepare a way for you to keep the Sabbath and to prosper. And that's trusting Yahweh as opposed to trusting the Gregorian calendar and the ways of man. Lean not on the ways of man. Lean not to your own understanding, but come out of the world and love Yahweh and keep his commandments, and Yahweh will bless you and give you the sure mercies of David. David kept the new moon. And if you would just go to 1 Samuel in chapter 20 and read that chapter, you'll see that David was a regular guest at the king's dinner that was served in honor of recognition that they do not work on the new moon, except it be for the occasion of doing Yahweh's service. And so David was aware of the new moon, and he zealously watched for it. He knew it was going to be the next day that he would be missed. His seat would be empty at the king's table when they celebrated the new moon, the festivals. They blew the trumpet, and David was astounding where he talked about in the Gospels, Psalms 89 for one, blow the trumpet on the new moon. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you blow the trumpet on the new moon, that marks the beginning of the time when Yahweh is trying to convince you that you should cease your labor, that you should come out of her, my people. Do not touch the things of the evil. Turn from the ways of the world and walk upright, fear Yahweh, and love him with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And you shall grow in grace and knowledge. The Sabbath, it is actually one of the great plans of of Yahweh. It turns you from the world to Yahweh. It puts you in an elite group of just a few. And though there be 1,000 leave the city, only a remnant will be saved. Only a few there be that find this straight and this marvelous and this very complicated way in the world has turned its back on Yahweh's way, created the way that seems right, and the carnal mind and most of Christianity, they even believe that he died on a cross. Ladies and gentlemen, he did not die on a cross. He did not die on a pagan symbol, which the cross goes back to the days of Talmud, where there is, and in the prisms across the sun, there is what is described as the cross in the sun. And when the old king, when he saw this sign in the sun, and he said, he told them that Yahweh had told him, of course he said Jesus had told him that the Sabbath was on Sunday. And they changed the true Sabbath from the lunar aspect to Sunday, and the Jews came in behind and adopted the Gregorian calendar. They placed their time on a Gregorian calendar. And they take Saturday, formulated by the Catholic Church, to show you that the Jews are themselves deceived. Now, the Bible said there is those that says that they are Jews and are not. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, and chapter 3, Revelation, verse 9, it says in this scripture that I know them that say that they are Jews and are not, but they are liars. They are out of the church of the synagogue of Satan. And Satan has influenced these who call themselves Jews, who have deceived the gullible Christians because they won't keep the commandments. They themselves are victims of the deception of others. And the Bible said if the blind lead the blind, they'll both go to the ditch. You can rest assured that if you do a growth process and learn knowledge, you're going to come to the conclusion that Yahweh's Sabbaths, the fourth commandment, are directed by the lunar calendar. Now let's go to Ezekiel. And I told you that's where I got my start. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 12 through 20, he said, if you'll keep my commandments, if you'll love me, if you'll keep my Sabbaths, then I will reveal to you all of my wonderful truths. And ladies and gentlemen, my little cup, graciously, by grace and the knowledge that I'm preaching tonight, he filled my little cup up with enough of the truth, just enough to be so hated that I know it's true. If I was preaching something that was wrong, although it seemed right, I would prosper. When you preach the truth, you shall be hated of all men for the name and the truth that you stand in. And the lunar Sabbath is one of the greatest manifestations. I've told all of my brethren that worship with me and fellowship with me that it's one of the necessary great revelations that must come into your life to structure your life, to set a time frame upon your labors and upon your ceasing to rest. Take heed, lest any of you, having an unbelieving heart, fail to enter in to his rest. It's a marvelous story. It's a story that is so wonderful, that is joy unspeakable, and is full of glory. Now, quickly, we're going over to the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to the 46th chapter, and we will read two verses in that particular book. Ezekiel gave us the hidden formula that the Israelites kept in a system devised by 12 gates, which is the formula for the altar that we're going to preach about in the growth and the knowledge. We're going to tell you how to build an altar in the series before we get through, Yahweh willing, we're going to tell you what those 12 gates represent. Now, there's 12 hours in the day, and there's 12 hours in the night. This is a metaphor. The altar is nothing but a great compass of growth and knowledge. And once it's applied, the gates shall be closed on what the Bible says in Ezekiel. The gates are going to be closed on the new moon. Now, why would they be closed? No activity coming through the gates. The 12 gates that came through the city were closed on a new moon. Well, nobody would get into the cities if the cities of the earth would close their gates, shut down the arteries, the roads that led into the city. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever thought about that? What if you couldn't get into New York City, where about 11 million people live? What if on a new moon they would shut it down and you couldn't get in there? You couldn't haul no burdens. You couldn't carry no burdens through the gates. That's why it was shut, ladies and gentlemen, to shut down the theocratical government of Israel, who, by the way, had gone a-whoring, had deserted Yahweh, had broke his laws and his commandments, which if a man shall keep, he will know the truth. Yahweh will give the truth to them that obey him, and the more you obey, the more you're going to get. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why that he that is not lacking in understanding, he that knows the commandments and keepeth them, Yahweh will give him more understanding as he goes along in life, and then he will be a beacon on the dark side of the carnal mind. You shall escape the carnality, the seemright, the devil's plan, the devil's matter, and the devil's trap of fleshly beliefs. You'll cast them aside. You'll put on the shining armor. And you'll walk different. You'll march to a different drum. And the Bible says we have piped to you, but you haven't danced. We have told you these things, but you won't listen. Now, how do we and keep the commandments? Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that Yahweh wants you to study to grow in grace and knowledge. It is one of the most painful changes, metamorphically speaking. It is a change so drastic that even your own wife may not recognize you. You have changed so much. You have suffered so much. You've been hated so much. You've been despised so much. They shall cast you out for my name's sake. They shall cast you out for the keeping my commandments. They will walk away from you. They will dismiss you from their presence for keeping my commandments. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 46, verse 2. The gates of the city shall be closed on the Sabbaths. Now, ladies and gentlemen, on 8, 15, 22, and 29, the gates closed. That is the natural phasing and function of the moon. We know that by simply observing the festivals. The festival of Passover, that I'm going to mention probably Friday night as we get into the series of the festivals and the commandment keeping of the times appointed. Here we're starting with the time to start the festivals, and we started on the new moon. In the 7th chapter, or on the 29th chapter of the book of Numbers, it states to blow the trumpet on the new moon of the 7th month. Now, the 7th month is the month of Tabernacles. We'll talk more about that later. But you see, every festival begins on the 15th day of the month, not the week, because there's not 15 days in a week. And the first Sabbath was always allotted to be the 8th day. Well, there's no 8th day in the seven-day calendar. And you hear these idiotic preachers defending the Saturday worshipers in their feeble and most idiotic way, pardon my way of explaining this, but it's true, that they deny the eighth day. And the Bible speaks about the eighth day. How could you keep the eighth day without a 30-day count? And we know that they kept a lunar calendar of 30 days, and every 3 years they would add a 13th month or 1 month to the 12 of established months, and that would make up for the 200 or the 311 days of the lunar count. Every calendar is devised by man, has to allot for the difference of the time frame of division. You cannot divide 12 into 365 and a quarter without having extra time to sweep under the rug. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Gregorian, they got as close in mathematics as they could to keeping the 365 and a quarter revolutions, and every once in a while, they themselves must stagger or alter or different the tune the months so that they can make up for those days or to allow for the days that lap over. And these are the imperfections of their system. Yahweh himself had a natural way to remedy these times. Wait. Well, in the book of Amos chapter 8, it is very clear that they complained about Yahweh's way. They chided him. They complained. They murmured. When will the new moons be gone that we might buy and sell? When will the Sabbath be gone that we can carry burdens through the gates? Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh's way is not our ways. We got to conform to him rather than him conforming to us. It would be nice to have our own way devised by man to make it easier or sweeter and to tickle our ears. But did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that Yahweh himself is not going to alter his way? I change not. Whatever he devised in the beginning is still that way in the end. Now, just about a month ago, I talked about in the beginning. Everybody said, well, Psalm 1:1, he worked 7 days and he rested, and that's the Bible. And so we devised a calendar, and we know what day he started, day one. You don't know that. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes more faith to believe in a Gregorian calendar than it does in a lunar application of the moon itself, putting the positions and the correctness of the signs in the heavens through the marking of the moon. And the moon was put into our orbit, and it was tilted a peculiar way. And it's the satellite of the earth, and in conjunction with the sun, the moon, and the earth. That is the time to mark your beginnings of the Sabbaths. It is a natural phenomenon that Yahweh himself devised by the great authority of his own mind and gave us a way to worship him in his own time. Now, wouldn't you want to show up when he's around? Wouldn't you want to keep his commandments when he's there? Wouldn't you want to worship when he's in the office and when he's playing his own music and you're dancing to his music rather than dancing to the Gregorian calendar, which has deceived the whole world? Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Pastor Buddy tonight, and I'm sponsored by Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439, and Brother Paul, 1-800-253-2748, and we would like you to give our sponsors a call and appreciate them, and we appreciate you for everything that you've ever contributed to our ministry to keep our voice alive here 5 nights a week. Live. Every 5 nights of the week, we're live. And Yahweh bless you. Thank you for your support. And I love you, all of your radio listeners out there. Every time that you sat down and wrote me out a check or slipped a little love offering in an envelope and sent it to Pastor Buddy, I am so grateful and so thankful. Many blessings to you out there. my personal supporters that keep my hands raised toward the King and my heart set upon Him. You can write me tonight at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, and you can also call me, if you will, if you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. Well, old Johnny, the man's coming around, and I've got to get out of here. My time is all slipped out of here, almost and coming gone. But I'd like to remind you tonight, I've got a few minutes here, and tonight I'd like for you to call me. Area code 423-626-2172. You can write me again, just drop me a letter or card, and tell me you'd like to have this series of Growing in Grace and Knowledge or any other that we have on our website. Bob has all these posted messages up to date, and you can go to our website. That is oneyahweh.com. That's www.oneyahweh.com. That's oneyahweh.com. So go to our website, check us out, and write me a letter, area code, or address it to Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. I love you tonight. I'll see you on down the line. May Yahweh bless you.
Multitudes are marching to the big gun run. Voices call and voices cry. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne, and at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around, whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down when the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices call and voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured a hundredweight and 10 pounds.